Good morning. Yes, it's Spring Forward Day. We can feel it all. Amen. So, it is my privilege and honor today to be able to bring forth God's Word. But before I do, Cindy, it's great to see you today. We give God praise for that, for continued healing. Continue to lift her up as she's going through the recovery time from these many strokes. But God is restoring her, and we're thankful for that. And we also ask that you please lift up Seth and Annalise. Their little girl decided to arrive 5 weeks early. Her name is Mackenzie, and she is in the NIC unit right now. So please pray for the family and be lifting them up. So let's just do that right now, okay, God? We just thank you for what you're doing in and through this service right now. We thank you for the words that we sang of the blessed assurance that surely goodness and surely your mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. So God, as this new life is beginning, I pray that you will just touch Mackenzie. Lord, just restore and help her to heal quickly from this, Lord God, that she will just have healthy lungs and be able to just be a healthy baby girl. And I know that, God, you've got great things in store for her. You have plans for her, for you knew her in the womb, and we thank you for that, God. And just like with Cindy, we thank you, God, that you are restoring her and, God, helping her to know that she is fully relying upon you in all that she does and all that she says. And Lord, we thank you for bringing us all here together today and pray that you will just work in and through this service, that we will just sense your word being proclaimed, that's planted deep in our souls, and Lord, most of all, that we can use it to encourage one another while it is still day. And we just give you praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Reading Proverbs chapter 3, verses 21 through 35, and it starts with, "My child, do not lose sight of good planning and insight. Hang on to them, for they fill your life and bring you honor and respect. They keep you safe on your way and..." My marker's in the way. "And keep your feet from stumbling. You can lie down without fear and enjoy pleasant dreams. You need not be afraid of disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked, for the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, 'Come back tomorrow and then I'll help you.' Do not plot against your neighbors, for they trust you. Do not make accusations against someone who hasn't wronged you. Do not envy violent people. Do not copy their ways. Such wicked people are an abomination to the Lord, but he offers his friendship to the godly. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but his blessing is on the house of the upright. The Lord mocks at mockers, but he shows favor to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools are put to shame." May God's word be blessed today. You may be seated. Last week, Pastor Jerry reminded us that according to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, we are told to trust in the Lord with all your heart, do not depend on your own understanding, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Since trust is fully and truly relying upon God, you would think that it would only be common sense for us to do that which he tells us to do. But we tend to take matters into our own hands and do what we want to do instead. We have found that we should have this thing called common sense, right? Just common sense. But that thing that we call common sense is not common to everyone. In fact, common sense has to be taught. Is not just absorbed but it's taught. And I can think of a couple areas of things that happen with, you would think this would be common sense, like coughing or sneezing. You either do it into your elbow or you cover it with a Kleenex. But Tina is at home sick today because she has fifth graders that go, "Ew!" in her face. Now, when she had the protective shield, it was fine, but those shields are now gone since they're no longer required in school. And then, how about this one? You're at Baker Park, and you come up to the four-way stop sign. And two people arrive there at the same time. Who has the right of way? It's in the hint. The person to the right. But have you ever felt like it was almost like the cartoon where they're racing and they're getting ready to start and it's like, you know, everybody's starting to lunge at each other? It's just common sense, common courtesy. Those are the things that you'd think would happen naturally for us. So in the same way, common sense for Christians has to be taught, especially since man is by nature a sinner. Common sense is defined by the Oxford Dictionary as good sense and sound judgment in practical manners. So for us to understand this portion of the scripture today, Solomon is reminding us not to lose sight of those things that we were taught, which is why we first and foremost have to know the field manual. And that is by keeping focused on God's word. You see, it's more important that it is not just a head knowledge. A lot of people know things, but it hasn't been integrated into their lives, and so they don't act on that. And that's what should be evident in how we live our daily lives. If you look back at Proverbs 21 and 23, it says, "My child, do not lose sight of the good planning and insight. Hang on to them. That is also known as wisdom and knowledge. For they will fill your life and bring you honor and respect. They keep you safe on your way and keep your feet from stumbling." If you look at the ESV, when you read that version, it says that it refreshes your soul. How many of us enjoy vacations? It's a refreshment for your soul. How about a nice big glass of lemonade or sweet tea on a hot summer day? It refreshes. So is the Word of God. It is living water that is provided to refresh our souls each and every day. And it also says that it's like jewelry that is around your neck. It is like a shiny element that draws people to you because they see that something's different. And it is the glory of God that is evident through your life because you're doing everything for His glory, for His honor. And we also know that God's Word provides protection for us each and every day in our daily walk. It says that you will not stumble. If a hurdler is running the race, have you ever seen them? They'll hit the hurdle, but they'll still keep going. But once they look down, they keep looking straight ahead. But if you've noticed, if they happen to look down, then the next one they'll miss again, but that will cause them to stumble. That is why we keep our eyes on the prize. We keep focused upon God's word. This is what keeps us clear every day. I don't know about you, but I can get easily distracted. And this helps keep me focused. That is what God's word does for our lives. And we're being reminded that through this, it's really a command that God had given the people of Israel early on in training up their children. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And listen to these instructions. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, and when you are on the road, and when you are going to bed, and when you are getting up. Emphasis added by me. Hear all those yous? So all yous guys are supposed to be doing this. You know, I remember being a youth pastor and had a parent that literally brought their son to me and said, "Will you fix him?" I know the miracle worker, but I'm not one. It goes back to the fact that as parents, the church is partnering with you in helping you raise your children. But you have to do this around the table. You know, all those times when you're driving on those road trips, are we there yet? But what have you been talking about? If you're just on a mindless drive, everybody's going to be scattered and getting distracted. But if you keep them focused, if you're talking about the things of God, if you've got Christian music going in there, with Right Now Media, you've got those that you can download onto their tablets. And those are the things that help you to train up your child, that are teaching them the Word of God. And even if you don't have kids in the car with you, it is as husband and wife or just travel partners, you are to be talking about those things as well. Because that's what encourages us and strengthens us and helps us so that we know the field manual, so that we can be the best that God wants us to be. And why is that important? Turn to Matthew chapter 7. May not have turned there. Once I start, you'll probably be able to quote it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. And it says, "Do for others what you would like them to do for you. This is a summary of all that is taught in the law and the prophets." We call this the golden rule. So, we know we're supposed to do that thing, but what about the golden results? Huh? Well, the golden results is a direct corollary of the golden rule. If you do to others as you want them to do to you, then other people will usually treat you the way you want them to treat you. It's back and forth. And as we look at God's word, it says that everything is summed up in the law and the prophet in that little statement. Because if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, those are the two from that Jesus condensed down for us to easily remember, the 12 commandments, or 10 commandments, 12. 10 commandments. But think about it. If you love your neighbor, will you murder them? If you love your neighbor, will you steal from them? If you love your neighbor, will you covet what they have? See where I'm going? And if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then are you putting any other gods before him? Are you using his name in vain? Are you remembering the Sabbath day? If you're like me, I need it kept simple. So the golden rule, do to others as you want them to do to you, sums up how we love one another. And then loving God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's all that I am. And in this day and age, people are watching us in everything that we do. And I don't want there to be any doubt in people's mind of who I am serving. It hurts my heart when I hear people say, well, if that's what Christians are like. One, it's not really fair that they're putting us all in one bucket. But in the same sense, I want them to look at my life to say, you know, you're different. I like being weird. I like being different. Not to draw attention to me, but it's who God created me to be. And I use every gift and talent that He's given me to bring Him the honor and glory He is worthy of. And that is why, as we're in this game called life, that it's not by chance these things are happening. God is showing us that we need to treat each other with love and kindness. There was an article in the North Carolina Baptist January newsletter that said, when we blame others, they blame you. If you admit you were wrong, and often they will do the same. Listen patiently and openly to others and hold off making premature judgments. And others will be inclined to do the same for you, which will open the way for understanding and increase the likelihood of agreement. In other words, strive to live in harmony. Our vision statement, we exist to help people transform their stories for the glory of God. In our mission statement, to see our communities thriving for the glory of God. Do you hear anything about me in those statements? It's not about what I want, but it is what God wants to do in and through us. Which is why we need to understand the importance of training together, because that brings familiarity. We must know the abilities of our squad. Just like Winnie knew she had a piano player, that was her. She had a guitar player, which was Chris. She had a bass player over here, that was Kevin. And she had David on drums. She knew their talents and abilities. And they worked together to bring forth the worship songs that we sang. But what if she just said, okay, Everett, you're on drums. And let's see, Titus, you're on piano. And let's see, Bob, you're playing bass. What'd you say? That wouldn't go well. That's right. It may not go well. Now, some of them might have hidden talents that they have not shared with us. But others would go, if it's like for me, go to the piano, chopsticks. And that's what you have, that's hard to sing worship songs with chopsticks. So turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. Romans chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. And it says, if your gift is encouraging others, do it. If you have money, share it generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't pretend that you love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. We all have different gifts and abilities, but that is what makes it so that not just one person is having to carry all the tasks that are sent down to us from our commander-in-chief, God the Father. We cannot expect one person to have all the talents and abilities. Now, I've always been trained up in all through through the church I grew up in and through college, that the best way to make sure that you keep your job is to make yourself indispensable. So I made sure I knew how to run the alarm system, how to run the sound system, how to do all these things in the past, because I wanted to keep that job. But I found that it wasn't the best use of my gifts, because I got so busy doing all these other things that I wasn't doing what God had called me to that place in the first place. Now I'm here to tell you, I am thankful for all that God has trained me and shown me to do, because when he brought me here, I was ready to quit. And God said, no, I called you. I've given you abilities that I want to use in this place. And when we went through our 3 years of transition without a senior pastor, I was able to fill in for some of those spots. And I'm thankful for that, because God used all my past experiences to train me for such a time. But you know what I'm finding now? I'm finding joy in ministry because we have partners here. It is not just one person doing the job, but many. And what does it say about many hands make the load what? And just think, if we're all yoked with Jesus, wow, there ain't no stopping us. And so that's why we need to make sure that we are all working together for that one common goal, and that is for the glory of God. We also need to remember that we are all fighting on the same side in the same battle. If you look right now in what's happening with the Ukraine, you know, my heart breaks for that. We're praying for them. But many of the Russian soldiers are doing what? Surrendering. This was not their battle. They didn't want to be fighting it in the first place. Now, that's in a flesh and blood battle. But we know that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the only way for us to be successful is to pray. And also realize that just as the body has many parts, Romans 12, verses 12 and 13, but the many parts make up the one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. So let's change this to make it a little bit more realistic for us. Some of you may be from Kentucky. And some of you may be from the Methodist Church or the Nazarene Church, or maybe even no church at all. But God has brought us all together for one reason and one purpose, And that is to proclaim his love to a lost and dying world. For you see, at the foot of the cross, it is level ground. No one is better because of where they were born or because of a position they hold. The blood of Jesus paid the same price for each and every one of us to become joint heirs with Jesus. So we are all a child of the King. Not to make it a puffed up thing, but just like in our family, my mom made sure everything was equal. I mean, even the Kool-Aid glass for the three of us had the exact same amount. But she also expected us to all do our work. You live in this house, you help in this house. Whether it's the dishes, or taking out the trash, or helping with the laundry, or cleaning up and dusting, all those things were, those are our chores that we had to do. But that was training us of what it was to work together as a family. Because why should everything fall on mama? You know, we've heard people say, I'm not your mom or I'm not your slave. That's right. We are here working together. So just as we work together as a family, as a church family, we are called to make sure that we are staying on focus. And why do we do this? Because we are seeking the commander's approval in all things. And we all must put forth the effort. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Reading verses 7 and 8. Work with enthusiasm as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. So it all boils down to, what's your attitude? Some of us can have an attitude, but not the right attitude. The right attitude is, we do all things, and all means what? All right. So we do all things for the Lord. As if we were working for the Lord. So, if you're a teacher, you're teaching the class and doing all of that as if we're doing it for the Lord. Not for the lazy students that aren't doing their work and drive you crazy. So, have you ever watched some of the baking channels or, you know, HGTV. Well, during COVID time, you know, we were stuck at home, and so we binge watched the Great British Bake Off, which is also why we gained some weight, because we made some of those items. But there was a judge on there by the name of Paul Hollywood, and he was renowned for how he made different breads. So during baking week, or during the bread week of that baking contest, everyone was really on edge. Because you didn't prove it long enough, or you overproved it, or underbaked it, and you did not want to do anything half-baked in that competition. Now, I know there are some people around here that like to eat the half-baked breadsticks from Pizza King. Blah. I also know some people who just eat raw dough, so that's weird, you know. But anyways, I don't. I want my bread nice and fluffy. Well, this particular gentleman was always giving people heavy critiques. And there was one baker who was, she was really anxious about it. And I mean, she made this beautiful rendition of a bouquet of flowers in a basket. The basket was made of bread. The flowers were all made of bread. Everything was just beautiful. And then he came over and started picking it apart. He tested first one of the flowers. Then he tested the arm of the basket. Then he tested the base of the basket. And he gave her this look. And she was like, "What?" And he stuck out his hand to shake her hand. He didn't do that for everybody. He only did that for those who did their very best. So let's take it to when we stand before our commander in chief. When we stand before God, we want him to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want nothing more than to make him happy with how I live my life, even each and every day now. The only way for that to be accomplished is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:15 through 18. It says, "See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." So look at those bullet points in right there. I can make a sermon just out of that verse. Always doing good to who? Each other and all people. To always be joyful. Are we always joyful? I wasn't joyful this morning when the alarm clock went off. To always be praying. And to always be thankful in all circumstances. That is what will bring the approval from God. So how do we live on mission? Never grow tired of doing good. Galatians chapter 6 verses 9 and 10 says, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith." As my dad taught me a long time ago, it all belongs to God anyways. Everything we got, we are just to be good stewards of it. Now, this does not mean that we as Christians become doormats that allow people to abuse our love and service. Because look over to 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 through 15. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from the Christian who lives in idleness and doesn't follow the tradition of hard work we gave you. For you know that you ought to follow our example. We were never lazy when we were with you. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night so that we would not be a burden to any of you. It wasn't that we didn't have the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted you to give you an example to follow. Even while we were with you, we gave you this rule: Whoever does not work should not eat. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and wasting time meddling in other people's business. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we appeal to such people. No, we command them, settle down and get to work. Earn your own living. And I say to the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. Take note of those who refuse to obey what we say in this letter. Stay away from them so they will be ashamed, but don't think of them as enemies, but speak to them as you would a Christian who needs to be warned. Wow, Ken. Way to bring a downer to a message. But here it is. Idle is defined as disorderly, loafing, remiss of daily work or conduct. And this is contrary to the teaching and the example that Paul demonstrated to the Thessalonians. Understand that this was a baby church. And so he was saying, we don't want to be a burden for them. But he's also saying that it's time to wake up and realize that we're not just supposed to coast along on what everybody else is doing, but find out how we can be a part. Doing good is not just sitting idly by. I mean, I was going through and trying to find some clips of that for a video distraction type thing. But the one that, it was too long, but the one that precipice it had for it was that there are those people who only do good when they get glory for it. When in reality, what does the Bible tell us? That God blesses those things that we do in secret. You know, it's not a thing of, hey, I want everybody to know that I went and I helped, you know, so-and-so move their potted plants outside since it's now spring. No. You just go and do it. Never grow tired of doing good. Because if we do, then what happens is we become idle. And what happens when we become idle? Who gets a foothold? You know, it was when David was idle that he fell into temptation. It was when Elijah was idle and moaning by the creek bed that he lost his focus. And God still provided for him, in spite of himself. We are told that if we want to not be idle, then we're going to do these instructions, even the same ones that Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, 11 and 12. But you, Timothy, or put your own name in here, you are a man of God. You're a child of God. So run from all the evil things, pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. And if you look at the verses previous to that, he told Timothy what all to avoid, calling them the evil things, the false teachings, stirring up arguments, or just even a way to make, because these people were just trying to make a name for themselves or to make a profit, and then they had a love of money that led to ruin and their destruction. So, if we want to live on mission, we have to live on purpose. On purpose, doing good. We choose to do good. We pursue righteousness. We pursue a godly life. We pursue faith. We pursue love. We pursue perseverance. And we pursue gentleness. as we stay in God's Word each and every day. And then we come together in these times of discipleship and training, whether on Sundays or on Wednesdays. And we strive to please God in all that we do. Then we are able to share a message of hope to a world in need. We discover that we are making those right choices and right decisions. So these are the choices that we make every day. We choose to be bitter, or we choose to be better. We choose to be hopeless, or we choose to be hopeful. We choose to love less, or we choose to love more. So I need to ask you, do you believe that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? You've heard his commands straight from the Bible. And since you've heard it, you are now responsible for how you will carry it out. You choose. I can't do it for you. You know, I've had times in my life where it's like I tried to make the best choices for my kids, but when they became adults, they made their own choices. And why I would love to change things, I have to take it back to God and say, they're yours. I choose to love. I choose to pursue righteousness. And I want them to follow that same example. But I can't make them. I can't make you. And even though I love you guys, and it breaks my heart to these things, that I want to change these things and change you because I know you could do better, it's still your choice. Yet not I, but Christ in me. So I pray that you choose to truly trust God and do good. Worship team, coming up. Take these scriptures today, especially from Timothy, and I challenge you this week, pursue these things. And pursue means you're focused straight on it. Pursue God with everything you've got.